Welcome to Raised on D&D Podcast. Each month, Raised on D&D brings you inspirational interviews with tips and strategies to enrich your family's gaming experience.
Your host for Raised on D&D has been a game master for 30 years and father to three gamers.
Here is Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guests come to us from across North America, with one hailing from Burlington, Wisconsin, and the other residing in Vancouver, Canada. They have been collaborative storytellers and GMs for almost 20 years, together and individually, creating and crafting entertainment experiences for audiences across North America in various disciplines. Currently, they have co-founded the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern, an immersive experience designed to transport patrons into a magical world and engage them through unique experiences not found anywhere else. Please welcome Daniel Colwell and Michael Paylor. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Nick.
Thanks for being on the show today. We're super excited. The internet is buzzing about the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern, and we're excited to talk to you about that more. But before we jump into all that, can you guys take us back to your first experience with tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons and Dragons? Who would like to go first?
Why don't I start? My gateway into nerddom started in London, Ontario, where Michael and I both grew up. And I was walking with my mother through a mall there and walked by a Games Workshop store. We're drawn inside, and my mother and I had a tabletop battle between orcs and Bretonians, and we were hooked. So my mother grabbed the wood elves, and I grabbed the lizardmen, and I have a lot of fond memories of sitting painting miniatures with my mother. Once I became friends with Michael, he and I were in a performing arts troupe in London there, and we connected over our mutual nerddom and together played a lot of Vampire the Masquerade when we were young there. Then I moved back to the States and got involved with Dungeons and Dragons 3.5 edition, found my way to the Society for Creative Anachronism, and it was swinging swords all through high school there. And then after college, found my way to Wisconsin, where my now wife was, and found a great community in the Lake Geneva area here, which was the birthplace of the Dungeons and Dragons role-playing game. And it's been a phenomenal experience getting to know this amazing group of people that were so instrumental to creating this genre that we're enjoying today.
Wow, that's amazing, Daniel. So you ran the whole gamut from wargaming to tabletop role-playing game to no one will ever call the SCA LARPing, especially not to our SCA fans. However, so you've experienced the LARPing experience and then making your home near Lake Geneva, the birthplace of Dungeons and Dragons. That's amazing, Daniel. Thank you for sharing that with us. Michael, what was your experience like?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, very similarly to Daniel, Warhammer was my original and kind of formative exploration to the gaming genre. I started with Skaven, and I've been looking for opportunities to play were-rats and other verminous creatures ever since, completely belying my last name of Paylor, of course. Lawful good is not my alignment. But I started with Warhammer much the same as Daniel, and then actually moved into LARP with Vampire the Masquerade, and then moved from there into tabletops. Most people start at the table and move into LARPing. I went the other direction, which I think was really fed from my theatrical background, working in the kind of arts entertainment genre. Moved from Vampire the Masquerade into Dungeons and Dragons. And then from there, I have a whole bookshelf of RPGs that I do not have the time to play, but I do my best to explore into them as much as possible. I'm really hooked on Dread right now. If you and your listeners haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. No dice, a Jenga tower, which really gets the heart going. Definitely a fan. But Dungeons and Dragons, of course, especially 3.5, which I kind of grew up with, is so modular, so crunchy and granular. There's so much to explore there. And with the advent of 5th edition, of course, I've been able to bring more and more players to my table. So that's really been my focus the last, I'm going to say probably 7 to 8 years. And this opportunity to work on something deeply embedded in the genre with Griffin and Gargoyle has been so wonderful, and watching people react to it with such excitement. You know, it takes me back to those first experiences as a kid with Vampire the Masquerade and with my first forays into Dungeons and Dragons, and that that childlike excitement. It's truly wonderful.
It's been humbling for sure, watching the reactions come into the project and these first images that we've been able to release.
That's fantastic. Now, fast forwarding, you both are married, and Daniel, you're a father. Is that right?
That's right. I've got three kids. My eldest, Tegan, is 10 now. My middle child, Brooks, it has turned 6. And my only daughter, Adrian, turns 3 in December here. So coming right around the corner.
And that's fantastic. Have you already introduced them to tabletop role-playing games?
I have. We've actually done a number of things. It started with, I've got my book up on the shelf here called Amazing Tales, which is a great RPG system for kids that doesn't really introduce failure into the equation. It just raises the stakes as you go. So that was a great entry sort of into the genre, even for my 6-year-old. And then Mouse Guard was the next one that we got into. My son Tegan really loved that game and sort of the Redwall elements associated with that. And then lately he's been at my table for Dungeons and Dragons in my campaign that we recently started. He and my wife share a character. My wife plays a Warforged that contains the soul of this child that she's protecting. So when my wife is working at the pharmacy and can't join us at the table, my son steps into the role for our schizophrenic Warforged. So we've had a lot of fun at the table with that.
That is fantastic. And it's great that it's the whole family experience with your wife and your children all at the table. And Michael, you don't have any children as of yet, but does your spouse also play tabletop role playing games with you?
Yes, they do. We don't have any children because I'm childish enough for a whole household full. we do play quite a lot together. They're in my kind of ongoing campaign, and I have about 500,000 one shots that all try desperately to take up space in my brain at once. So once a week we go through something new and exciting and kind of crazy. My brother joins us and his partner sometimes as well, and we've got a couple of friends in the area. But I find that it's really good to be able to have my partner at the table. It's good to be able to, you know, work through kind of some of the frustrations that you get after 10, 15 years worth of relationship at kind of a lower stakes environment. but yes, they're pretty constant presence at my table.
And that's fantastic. Now, you guys might not know, but I have 3 children. My youngest just turned 13. So now they're all teenagers. It's quite exciting. But as we've been gaming now for 11 years. So we started them off very early on. And back in those days, there were not as many children-centric tabletop role-playing games as there are now. And so Amazing Tales, incredible game. Martin Lloyd out there in Holland producing that. And he's developed it now because his children are getting older. And he's created Amazing Heroes, which is not really like a sequel, but more of an expansion, if you would, of Amazing Tales. That's terrific. And so I've got to see how, as my own children have grown, their taste and their style of tabletop role-playing game has also matured. For example, they just experienced Call of Cthulhu for the first time last Halloween. And then this Halloween, we did the sequel. And of course, that's something you can't do with 10 and unders. Well, at least I wouldn't recommend it. And so as they get a little bit older, not only does the game can become more sophisticated, more complicated as far as rules, and more mature as far as content, but things like games like Dread are things that you want to save for when you have older teens. I personally never got to get into Games Workshop Warhammer until my middle son said, you know, I really love 40K. But I've played Palladium, Vampire the Masquerade, of course, when it came out, Dungeons and Dragons 3.5, actually all of them since second edition. So all those things. So it's very exciting to speak with people who grew up in different places, and we all have very similar gaming backgrounds. It just makes the world a little bit smaller and makes that game table a little more intimate. What we wanted to talk to you about today is the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern. Now, this is an incredible concept, and the internet is blowing up about it. There's articles in the Lake Geneva regional newspaper. There's all kinds of things online. I'm seeing it all over Facebook. People are talking about it now. They're sharing not only your Facebook page, but they're sharing the concept art for the tavern. Guys, tell us a little bit about it. Tell our listeners who haven't seen it yet what we're talking about.
Sure. Michael, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, absolutely. So the tavern itself was, as Dan said, I believe at the beginning here, kind of a brainchild that started during primarily during the worst of the lockdown. A lot of time spent during COVID doing planning, working on kind of the initial concept. And then, of course, Dan reached out and engaged an architecture firm, which is where a lot of the images come from. Basically, the tavern itself is just one single piece of a much larger, immersive, unique experience. We want to be able to bring people into our homebrewed, unique world and tell a story with them, not just have them come in and order a meal and see some interesting art, but to actually engage with the world that we've created, participate in the story, and actually have a measurable impact on what they're seeing. As soon as they step through our threshold, people are going to be completely immersed in this experience and in this world. It's been incredible. And as Dan said before, incredibly humbling to watch the response to the posts that we've been making, to watch people react to the images, and to finally, after so long planning, be able to invite people into a small fraction of what we have planned. The reaction has been amazing.
I think that is probably one of the most alluring things about the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern is the idea that my family and I were to make a pilgrimage up to Lake Geneva to visit places like the Dungeon Shop Museum, the Lake Geneva Games, to go to Gary Con, and to be able to stop off in a place like the Griffin and the Gargoyle and not just, like you said, not just get a meal, but going through the doors, be transported to this fantasy realm and be immersed in the story that's being played out around us and with us. It's incredible and it's incredibly ambitious. Can you guys tell us a little bit about the challenges moving forward? You've got the concept, you've been working on it for a long time, but now There's some nuts and bolts. There's the city of Lake Geneva has got to approve a lot of things. What are some of the other challenges you guys have made on the road to the Griffin and Gargoyle?
Sure. Well, we've been able to tackle a lot of those challenges with foresight and time. As we went through the pandemic, my day job is running a movie theater in the Lake Geneva area. And of course, during COVID, everything shut down. And there was even a period of time for a month where I was furloughed and I was at home. I was like, you know what? The Griffin and Gargoyle is my full-time job. And so I treated it like work every day, came downstairs. We drew a lot of inspiration from immersive experiences like Disney's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and like Universal's Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But what those locations can't offer is a meaningful way for customers to participate in the story. Because it's all based on canon material, it's certainly easier for customers to step into it because they've read about the story. They know what to expect and who they're going to meet when they're there. But they don't have a way to meaningfully tell their own story within that world. And so with our backgrounds in theaters, that's something that was really important to us, that how can we channel those empathy building elements that we love about collaborative storytelling and welcome the customer into it in a zero stakes way, so that if grandma shows up with zero experience of Dungeons and Dragons except some news articles from the 1970s, how can we make a great experience for her that she walks away feeling empowered and like she has had a great time, but you have your 14-year-old kid who's passionate about character creation and wants to understand the story of the Griffin and Gargoyle. We actually have a team of eight creatives, authors, and the like that are helping to build the mythology and story around how the Griffin and Gargoyle was founded. And then we're working with scenic designers, Brass Ink Studios out of Chicago, to take that story and translate it into the architecture of the space so that if you want to just come for a great immersive dinner, you can do that. But if you want to explore the story and the mysteries surrounding the Griffin and Gargoyle, there are going to be clues that lead you on a journey through our space as you go to really explore and unlock the mysteries that we're tying into the experience.
Truly, one of the greatest joys of tabletop role playing for me anyway is that everybody of any experience level is able to participate. And through their participation, whether they're just there to roll dice and have some fun or whether they're there to really delve into the human experience, everyone at the table sees the impact that they're making and they see the change to the storyline and the world around them as they're gaming. That is really something that we wanted to bring into this experience. Anybody can come and participate at any level, but still see the world move around them.
And that's phenomenal. And guys, I got to let you know, I live right smack dab in the middle of Central Florida. I live in a little town that no one's ever heard of called Lakeland. And it is literally 45 minutes to the beach and 45 minutes that way to the Disney World. Okay. And so here in Central Florida, we have a very, unique perspective when it comes to entertainment, especially entertainment and dining and things like that. Not only do we have the big names like Disney and Universal Studios and those sort of things, where we've experienced Galaxy's Edge and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, we're also familiar with smaller venues here in Central Florida, like the Cloak and Blaster, which is a gaming tavern where you play tabletop games or video games while also they serve meals and drinks. And then we're used to also performance theater, places like the Pirates Dinner Theater, where you sit down at a table and you watch a interactive pirate show while enjoying a meal. And you might sing along with some songs or might even get up and interact with the pirate characters. But when we talk about the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern, you're talking about something on a whole other level than that altogether. For our listeners who are used to venues like I've described, help us understand how the Griffin and Gargoyle is going to be that much more role-playing-esque and less dinner theater.
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying that if you enjoy those sorts of experiences, we anticipate that you'll also enjoy what we're offering at the Griffin and Gargoyle. We are taking that sort of dinner theater element and some of that those musical elements, but we're taking it to a much deeper level. I would say that there's a level of seriousness that we offer, and authenticity, I would say, is the important word, where when you walk into our building, this is the living and breathing world for the characters that you're interacting with. So that there's less wink and a nod going on and more this is the experience and drawing you into our world and allowing you to participate by creating your own fantasy character if you wish. And we're looking at developing a loyalty program where as you visit multiple times, your storyline within the Griffin and Gargoyle continues to grow and develop. And you can even have an effect on the ongoing story of what's happening at the Griffin and Gargoyle as you come from season to season, from event to event, as the years go on.
That is phenomenal. A real living campaign, as it were, inside the tavern, developing and going on. And now my understanding is from everything that I've read online, there is also even more activities beyond the dining room. You guys are going to have axe throwing. Now, this is something new for us here in Central Florida that's just kind of emerged. And we've luckily been able to take advantage of that. And I've gotten to experience a couple of different axe throwing venues. I've always been a fan of axe throwing from my younger days going to Renaissance festivals, and having fixed locations where that can happen has been a huge benefit. So now the Griffin and Gargoyle is also going to offer that as well.
That and a number of other things, yes. So we can't talk a whole heck of a lot about the lore behind the Griffin and Gargoyle at the moment. But what I can let you know is that the Griffin and Gargoyle within our storyline was founded by a group of adventurers, and each of those adventurers have brought their own flavor into the mix here. Based on their impact and the founding of this wonderful tavern and other experiences, there are going to be offerings and products and services provided that really reflect the personality and predilections of those adventurers. One of the greatest examples is, as you've said, the axe throwing. We have our announced barbarian in the basement and the axe throwing experience. So that will be also an area where you can sit down, have a little bit of food, maybe order some ale or whatever tickles your fancy, and with a group of your friends, enjoy that experience. Maybe compare scores with other adventuring parties next to you. And then all the other founders of the Griffin and Gargoyle, of course, have left their mark and will provide other opportunities and other arenas for you to experience that same immersive storytelling element with maybe a bit of a twist.
Terrific. Yeah. Daniel, so you wanted to add more to that?
Well, just mentioning, so the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern is the heart of the experience, but also attached to the Griffin and Gargoyle is what we're calling curated curiosities. So that's our Wizard's Antiquity Shop. We're going to have a variety of handcrafted items from Etsy artisans from all over the country and all over the world on a constant rotation that makes it so that every time you come to the Griffin and Gargoyle, that there are unique things in that shop space that you will have never seen before. And then on the second floor, we have the Gnome Alchemist, which is our steampunk themed molecular mixology bar. So we're going to have specialty cocktails and drinks with unique ingredients, and we're going to have dry ice infused beverages up there. So you down in Florida are a little more familiar with the variety of those specialty cocktail locations. So some of that will feel a little bit familiar, but in all of these spaces, you'll be interacting with our staff members that will give you information about the story and the world that you're in.
I love the idea that there are different locations in the tavern, not only appealing to different demographics that might be making the trip to Lake Geneva and making the trip to the Griffin and Gargoyle, but it also encourages you to explore the entire location and interact with characters in all points to get more and more of the story and interact with it and influence it and all that. That is incredible. Genius planning. Fantastic.
It's extremely important to us. I think Daniel mentioned before that there are seasons and events and various things. There isn't just a static story where you can speak to everybody and explore, but it's exactly the same every time you're there. There is an ongoing lore, story, and plot line which can advance based on various things and various seasons and events as we move forwards. And being able to explore each of those areas is going to, of course, help you piece together bits of that lore and further enrich your experience as you move through actual physical time.
This is all so phenomenal, guys. Everything we've talked about the tavern and all the different experiences that we're going to have there. But the other thing that I was thinking about is we're tabletop gamers. We love to play tabletop. Is there going to be a part of the tavern where we can come in and sit down and maybe my gaming group can sit down and play tabletop role-playing games?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the main tavern itself is going to be fairly large. If you and your adventuring party want to sit down in the crowd and roll some dice, we are not going to stop you. But for adventuring parties that are looking for a little bit more of a private experience, we will actually have 6 individual gaming rooms that can be rented. So you and your group can come in, have a more private experience, table service even within there, and run your game for as long as you've rented the space for.
And I'll be honest with you, there has been many a times when my wife, who's also a gamer, has said, I don't want to have to worry about having the house ready and, you know, the cleanup afterwards and things like that. Can't we have it somewhere else? And we have played Dungeons and Dragons in private venues, at restaurants, with the permission of management, folks. We're not telling you to just take over restaurants, okay? But we've gone in there, we've said, hey, we're going to run D&D. We're going to be in here for X amount of hours. How much would that cost? And can we have a service for food at the same time? And some of the venues have been like, you know, if you're ordering food and things like that, well, that's good enough. So the idea, and I'm again, another reason to be jealous of the folks that live around Lake Geneva is the fact that they'll be able to go to the Griffin and Gargoyle and run role-playing games in a private room and be able to have the full menu of drinks and food available to them is amazing. Just incredible. Thank you.
Yeah. And one of the things we're also doing that we haven't mentioned yet, on the weekends, we're planning on having a special, we're calling it like cultural tourism experience, where somebody with zero previous role-playing experience can come in. We'll have a 4-course meal gaming experience where our professional dungeon masters will take you from character creation through a one-shot adventure over the course of a meal. So if you want to bring friends and family that have never played before, this is going to be a great gateway to getting them introduced to the idea so that maybe they'll be more comfortable gaming at your house as well.
Fantastic. Now, I know that you guys are planning on breaking ground in 2022, and you have an ambitious opening date in 2024. Now, as of this conversation, how on point are we with those dates?
Sure. Well, initially, our goal was to open for March 2023 for the release of the Dungeons & Dragons film that is going to be coming out in March of that year. But as we go here, we're still sort of dealing with some of those supply chain issues when it comes to things like lumber and those sorts of things. And our number one goal is we don't want to be cutting corners as it relates to the customer experience in this space. Everything in our building that the customer can touch and feel will feel authentic to the world. And so taking that extra time, giving us that whole extra year to really build our artist relationships and get those spectacular pieces that are really going to sell the experience. So that really led to the decision to delay it to 2024, because we really wanted everything to be polished and ready for the 50th anniversary of the creation of Dungeons & Dragons in the place where it was born. So we're really planning for our space to be a celebration of the tabletop role-playing genre when we open.
That is incredible. On top of that, I know there are people at home listening and they're saying, how can I help? How can I be a part of this experience before the ground is even broken? Is there a way for people to support financially? Is there going to be crowdfunding? Is there going to be investment opportunities? And I know it's a very small group of people that might be thinking in these dimensions, but I know that there are people out there wanting to help. What would you say to them?
Well, we're going to have a lot of ways for people to get involved. We're planning a Kickstarter for the spring, less as a fundraising tool than as a tool to share with everyone that's excited about our project some of the cool things that we are working on creating at the moment. We are still, of course, currently lining up our investment pool, and that's being finalized in the next couple of weeks here. There are some opportunities in there still as well. But if people really want to be involved, we have a growing community both through our Facebook page and through our Discord group, which has grown astronomically over the past few days.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to provide all those links to the griffinandgargoyle.com, which is your website, and the Facebook page as well in the show notes, so folks will be able to find you very easily.
That's amazing. And yeah, honestly, one of the greatest things people can do, anyone can do if they'd like to help, continue sharing your excitement. It's been wonderful and humbling to watch people's reactions to everything that we've been working on. And it's definitely rocket fuel for us to see the excitement kind of blow up across the internet over the last few weeks, but very specifically over the last few days. Continue to share, continue to post. Tell us that you're excited. Tell us that you're happy. We love that.
And with all the things that have happened over 2020 and bleeding over into 2021 with the COVID crisis, it's amazing that members of the gaming community such as yourselves have taken that opportunity, even in the midst of financial uncertainty with your own day jobs and home careers, and taking that opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to take this time to work on my passion, and I'm going to create something that's going to make the world better, not only for the gaming community, but for all the people in my area. And that is phenomenal. Thank you so much. Thank you for your positivity. Thank you for your foresight. Thank you for your vision. And we're excited to experience it, to participate in it, to get the word out about it. And most of all, we're excited to visit the Griffin and Gargoyle Tavern in Lake Geneva 2024.
Well, thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and your audience today.
Very much appreciated. Thanks, Nick.